Welcome to another inspiring podcast from True North Church. We hope this message encourages and blesses you. For more information about our church, please visit truenorthak.org.
We're diving in. We're launching a brand new series. I am so excited. You know, we've done lots of series, and we're a series church. So this is a new launch. We're launching this series today called Where the Rubber Meets the Road, and it's a study on the book of James. Now, for background, for some of you, maybe you're not familiar with the Bible a whole lot. The book of James has five, it's a short book of the New Testament, the second half of the Bible, five chapters. And within the five chapters, there's nine sections. In other words, if you start reading it, you'll see that there's areas where it says trials and temptations, and then listening and doing. And so what we're going to do is break this down really section by section by section. And today, the melancholic people are going to walk out and go, he only got through half the notes. Because I realize there's a little bit more content that we can finish. And so you'll have to remain with them empty. Next week, come back. We'll have a brand new one. We'll just have the bottom part available But we're going to walk through James. Now, here's the book of James. It's kind of the Proverbs of the New Testament. It's short. It's packed full of stuff. And today, hope you're ready. It's a lot of fun, but not a whole lot of shouting happened first service today. Because I talk about suffering and trials. And for whatever reason, you talk about trials in the church, and the church goes, I don't know if I want to sign up for that. I don't know what it is. Who in here likes suffering? Who in here likes trials? Who's walking through a trial right now? Who's sitting by their trial right now? Okay. Whoa, there's some hands that went up pretty quick in this place. I'm going to pray for some marriages or relationships at the end of service today. James, there's several James in the book in the Bible. One is James, who was a disciple of Jesus, but then this book wasn't written by the disciple of Jesus. This book was written by Jesus' half-brother. If you know the story, Mary, the mother of Jesus, had an angel showed up one day and said, hey, guess what? You got good news, glad tidings. You're like the chosen one, and you're going to be pregnant with a child. And Joseph, she was engaged to, married her anyway. Well, later on, Mary and Joseph had other children. Jesus had little brothers and sisters. Now, how many of you would like to be Jesus' brother? One hand goes up. How would you like to be going through acne? And have a brother say, you need to be nice to me because I'm God's son. Now, how many of you guys would know that would make, I'm sorry, if my sibling told me he was God, I would slap him. Right? Because we all know that our siblings are not God, right? Sometimes they're not even God-like. No. James becomes a convert to Christ after Jesus' resurrection. We hear about this in 1 Corinthians, where James comes to know Jesus. So Jesus' earthly half-brother is converted, believes in God. It took him dying and rising from the dead for him to believe he was the Son of God. And James then becomes a pastor, and he writes a book called James. And so we're going to be in the book of James the next several months, where the rubber meets the road. So if you have your worship guides, take them out, and let's walk through this. I want to look at James chapter 1, verses 1 and 2 for introduction here. Today we're going to talk about trials. We'll let you be tempted all week. We'll talk about temptations next week. James chapter 1. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes scattered among the nations, greetings. Now, how many of you guys would like to get a letter? You know, hey, kind of formality, my name is James, I'm a servant of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Number one, I wished I could put that on my resume, like I'm a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hopefully we could all put that on there, that's who we are. And then he says, greetings. And then he says, consider it pure joy, my brothers, when you face trials of many kinds. Because automatically when we face trials, the first thing we think is, let's be happy. Right? I mean, how many of you guys, the first thing you think about is being happy when you're walking through a hard time? No. He's going, consider, he acknowledges something. He acknowledges that we will be going through trials. Look at your neighbor right now and say, I've got really good news for you. You've got some hard times coming. How many guys, that makes your spirit so full of life. Like, you know, you're just like, woohoo! That blesses my inner Bubba. I feel ministered to right now. No. If you've got a ticker and a blinker and you're here today, trials aren't always what we want to embrace. However, see, he's acknowledging that we're going to walk through trials. And now, before you think, well, what type of God do I want to serve if he's going to bring me trials, for heaven's sakes? Well, the God who might be kind of like some of you as parents. I have four daughters and a son, and four of my daughters go to school. And there's been days that my kids, probably unlike some of you in here, in fact, maybe it's never happened to you as a parent or teenagers or college students, never wake up and go, do I have to go to school today, Dad? And I think, yeah, you have to go to school today. Well, why? Because I don't want you living in my house the rest of my life. And I want you to learn what they're going to test you for so you can pass the tests, go to the next level, so someday you can pay your own bills. Buy your own car. Pay for your own smartphone. Why do we sometimes make our kids go to school? Because we want them to master a set of knowledge so they can grow to the next grade and the next level until someday they're self-sufficient and whole, and hopefully healthy, and make good decisions. So we're not bad. I used to come home from school, and I grew up on a dairy farm, and I'd come home and you know, Flintstones. You know, you remember the 3 o'clock? Anyone here old enough to remember the Munsters and Adam's Family and Flintstones, the good type of family? Well, I don't know if the Munsters was very good, but who knows? And it always happened when I was supposed to get the cows. My job was to get the cows. So I'd go home, Dad, do I have to get the cows today? Because sometimes my dad would go get the cows himself. He'd go, no, you don't have to. I'd go, yeah, Flintstones, here I come. He'd go, you don't have to, you get to. I'm like, that ain't quite fair. So the thing is there are trials. Consider it pure joy that when you go through trials of many kinds. Why? Because a test reveals whether you know the material or not. Whether you can pass the subject or go on to the next grade. See, God's more interested in your character than your comfort. Say again. God's more interested in your character than your comfort. God's more interested in your holiness than your happiness. God wants us to grow. And that's why it says the crucible is for silver and the furnace for gold. But the Lord tests the heart. Why do we go through trials? To test the heart. God wants to test your heart. He wants to see if your heart is growing and if it can go beyond elementary to secondary, and someday you can get a doctor, PhD in trials. So God can trust you with more because your heart has the character and depth. You need it. See, I've heard someone say once, if God puts something in our hands, before he does something in our heart, our character will lag behind our achievements, and that will be our road to ruin. Say it again. If God puts something in our hand, before he does something in our heart, our character will lag behind our achievements, and that'll be our road to ruin. How many of you guys believe God's concerned about your character and your growth? How many of you know God wants a church that has depth of character and can withstand the trials because he has a world that gives up way too easy on a lot of stuff? So I want to talk today, when we walk through trials, we must, and let's talk about what we must understand when we walk through trials. Number one, we must recognize what's really going on. We have to recognize what's going on. See, at times our problems hijack the learning opportunity. We get so focused on the problem, we don't ask what's really going on behind this. How many of you guys want to know the world's bigger than just your problem? And if you can back up and see the perspective that's higher. See, in James, the author says, consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Say perseverance. Isn't that a fun word, perseverance? You know, for you 100-meter dash runners, this is like the 5-mile word. Let's go run a 5-miler. Like, no, I don't want to run 5 miles. It's perseverance. It's like distance. We're talking how testing of our faith develops what? Perseverance. In other words, the stick-to-itiveness, the let's not quit. See, all tests and trials, what are they doing? They're trying to develop patient endurance. That's what perseverance, patient endurance. See, some of us are trying to run from the school of character. But character's developed through what? Difficult times that you can persevere through. See, the second thing we have to understand when walking through trials is number two, we have to cooperate with God's growth process. Now, cooperate with God's growth process. It's like, yeah, God, I want to. Anyone here ever prayed they'd grow? God, help me grow. God, teach me wisdom. God, when trials come, you might actually be living the answer to your prayer. So be careful. God, I want to grow. I want to become the man you called me to become, the husband you've called me to become, the wife I've never prayed that. The wife you called me to become, Lord. See, James chapter 1 says this, verse 4. Perseverance must finish its work so that, say so that. So perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature. Anyone want to be mature? And complete. Not lacking what? Anything. Hey, why do we walk through trials? Why do we walk through suffering? Because God wants to mature us. God wants to complete us. God wants to finish his good work in us. Why? So we don't lack anything. If you're walking through a trial, why does James say, consider it pure joy? Because he says, if you walk through this, you'll get to a place someday you don't lack as much as you lack now. There'll be a day of maturity that you need to have. In other words, we've got to begin to say, oh, God, I want to partner with the process here. But the problem is we don't always like that word suffering and perseverance. You know, you don't get a lot of shouts in the church when you say, hey, we're going to talk about suffering today. In fact, guys, if you want to, there's a sign-up sheet at the Connect desk today. If you want to suffer, just go sign up out there. We'll give you a call. We want to make sure we can. No. Romans chapter 5 says this. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings. Because we know that suffering produces. Say produces. Suffering produces. There's a product at the end of it. There's something that shifts in our heart. And suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. See, some of us, this is what happens. We get into difficult times and we say, God, can you get me out of this situation? And God goes, I put you there. God, get me out. And God's going, your prayer's close, but you got to change the words around. It's not, God, get me out of this situation. The prayer rather is, God, let me get everything out of this situation. Let the character on the inside be developed. Let the hope and the calling, let me rejoice in this suffering, because suffering produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. First Peter says, in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief of all kinds. Like all kinds of suffering and grief, God? Come on. These have come so that. I like that word, so that. Hey, this happens so that this happens. These grief and all kinds of trials have come so that your faith, say faith, of greater worth than what? Gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Listen, friends, your faith is of more value than gold. And how is gold refined? By put through the fire. But God tests your heart, and he tests it through the trials and the weight that we walk through and the grief we walk through and the suffering. Why? Because he has character being developed. Anyone want to be a man of character who knows how to be a person of depth when crisis hits? Anyone want to be a woman of character? And I'm convinced, if we can grab a hold of this, I think all of a sudden the world goes, oh, these people don't run from problems. They walk through problems. They consider pure joy when they walk through those and the test of their faith. And there's we must embrace the process, friends. The third thing we must understand when we walk through trials is, number three, we must ask God for help. We don't ask God to get us out, but God, help me while I'm here. How many want to know? Two words will change your life forever. God and try. But if you sit, when a problem comes, you sit and contemplate your navel like, oh, you know. No, God and try. Start working hard, but ask God to help you work through it. You plus God is the majority. You don't have to have everyone else cheering you on. You just need the King of Kings and Lord of Lords on your side. And that's why James says, if any of you lacks wisdom, it's not a different topic. He's talking about developing perseverance so you lack nothing. He's talking about difficult times. If you lack wisdom, in other words, you don't know what to do and how to do it. You don't know how to get through what you're walking through. When you lack wisdom, you should ask God to give you generously, because He gives it generously to those without finding fault, and it'll be given to him. Why? When you walk through difficult times, ask God for wisdom. God, I need your wisdom and your strength right now. The problem is, most of us, when we hit rock bottom, what do? Oprah doesn't have the wisdom God has. Okay, all your friends on the phone, and you need friends. And that's why you need life groups. Why do we love life groups so much? Because you need a pocket of people who can pray with you for wisdom. But ultimately, God's the one that gives you wisdom. Who do you, when difficult times come, the Bible says lift up your eyes to the hills, because that's where your help comes from. Get your chin off your chest and ask Jesus for help. If you lack wisdom, ask him for it. Ask God, God, what are you teaching me? God, what should I be learning right now? That's wisdom. Not, God, get me out of here. God, what is it you want to teach me right now? Because I want to learn, because I don't want to walk through this again. God, I want wisdom to navigate this situation differently than I had before. Help me. God, develop this in me. Lord, help me become more patient. Help me become, God, give me the knowledge and wisdom to know how not to abort what you're trying to teach me here, but embrace what you're teaching me here. The fourth thing we have to ask ourselves when we walk through a trial is, number four, I'm keeping a good attitude. To keep a good attitude. How many of you guys have ever just kind of gotten a stinky attitude? But here's the deal. I love what James says. He's talking about trials. He says, man, if you lack wisdom, ask God. And then he says, but when he asks God, he must believe and not doubt. Because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. That man should not think he has received anything from the Lord, for he's a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. What does God say? God is saying here, your attitude is key. You have to believe and not doubt. In other words, you have to believe that God is doing something in you. He's with you. Hey. Don't try to abort the situation. God, I'm going to embrace this thing right now so you can do everything you can inside of me. Because if you're like, well, I don't know if I should have, you know, listen, embrace where you're at. I always, there's an Old Testament story where Jacob works for his father-in-law to be Laban, his uncle, for 7 years for a beautiful girl named Rachel. He works for 7 years to marry Rachel, if you know the story. He works 7 years, shows up and says, Dad, father-in-law-to-be, my 7 years is up. Give me my woman. She's beautiful. 7 years is like 5,366 days, something crazy like that. And he's counting them down every day, the day of the wedding. He wakes up the next day, and the father-in-law didn't give him Rachel. Father-in-law gave him Leah. If you read the Bible, she was the one, the Bible says, Rachel's beautiful in form and body, and Leah had weak eyes. If the Bible, all the Bible can say about your eyes is they're weak, she ain't a pretty person to look at. And he says, finish your marriage week. The father said this. Laban said, it's not our custom to give you the younger before we give you the older. And I'm thinking that would have been a great question to ask. But guess what? He was gaining wisdom for the situation, wasn't he? He says, if you work another 7 years, I'll give you Rachel. Had to finish a week. Got her the eighth day of the wedding, marriage. Had Rachel. But every time he slept with Leah, she got pregnant, and Rachel was barren. And here's the principle here. Is sometimes until you're willing to embrace the situations that aren't really pretty to look at, we don't realize those situations sometimes produce a whole lot more fruit in our life than what we think we want over here. If the grass looks greener on the other side of the fence, it ain't greener, and if it is, the water bill's a whole lot higher. Sometimes you have to keep the attitude, God, what's happening to me is what you want to happen to me because you want something developed in me. And when that happens, watch what God does. James says this in verse 12. Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, because when he stood the test, he'll receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. Who here wants to receive that crown of life that God has promised to those who love him? Now here's the thing. Those who love him, your testing and your trials develop. The stick-to-itiveness. God, I'm going to serve you, not because you're the sugar daddy that gives me all the fun things in life, but you're the God who has my best interest in mind, and you want to develop the character on the inside of me. That's what he wants. Now, maybe you're here today and you're like, Mark, I know the book of James is supposed to be encouraging. And I'm walking through a hard time and I can't see the light at the end of the tunnel. I had someone say, Mark, I'm walking through hell right now. He said, what should I keep doing? I said, keep walking. Because as long as you're walking away from it. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, David said, I will fear no evil. If you're in a valley right now, let your valley be a rally. Realize that if you're walking through a difficult time, he's there. Ask him to partner with you. God, give me wisdom to get everything out of this situation I need, but I want to serve you with all of that. Let's pray right now as the ushers prepare as we receive your tithes and offerings in a moment. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for this day. I thank you for those that are here. God, there are some folks in here that they're struggling and trials for them might be. They might be on the verge of bankruptcy. They might be at a place where, God, the trial has to do with the news from a doctor, and they're walking through a bad report, or maybe they're just walking through a real crisis, maybe a trial with courts. I don't know, God. Maybe they're walking through a difficult time with a son or daughter or family member, co-worker. Lord, would you meet needs? Touch people's lives today in a deep way. Just let him minister to you if that's you. If you're walking through a difficult time, would you communicate to him? Say, God, I need your help right now. I need some strength right now. And let him meet your needs today. We thank you for that in Jesus' name.
We hope you were encouraged by this message. For more information and other resources, please visit truenorthak.org.